Radiolab is supported by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Wait, you're listening?
Okay.
All right.
All right. You're listening to Radiolab.
Radiolab.
Shorts!
From
WNYC.
Yes. And NPR.
3, 2, 1. Let me now propose that I'll never count backwards again. No, I'm serious. Hey, I'm Chad Abumrad.
I am Robert Krulwich.
This is Radiolab.
The podcast.
And today on the podcast, a story about a friendship, really. Because in almost any friendship,
there'll be a moment where you're looking across at this person you think you know very, very well, and he or she will suddenly say something or do something or think something
that just throws everything into question.
Everything up in the air. You think, what? What? This is a friendship with a big, fat what in it.
And the guy that's going to tell us the story is
Andy Mills, and I am a freelance radio producer.
And the other guy, you'll meet him in a minute.
So maybe we should start, like, how did you meet? Like, what was the, where did you lay eyes on each other?
Well, it was my sophomore year of college, and it was the time that the freshmen are all moving into the dorms. And I was meeting new people, welcoming the freshmen.
Oh, you're an RA, or you're some sort of...
No. Just one of those chatty people in the dorm.
You're like, what's your name?
Exactly. And as I was talking, actually, to a group of freshmen in my room, I hear this, like, strange noise from the room next door. It was this kind of low drone. So I kind of peeked over and saw, you know, an 18 to 19 year old kid in a wheelchair, dark curly hair. And this noise I'd been hearing was his voice. Not even a week later, I run into him in the hallway, and I introduce myself. I say, hi, I'm Andy. What's your name? And he said,
my name is Con Ashmore. K-O-H-N.
Con
Ashmore.
Con Ashmore.
Yeah. I was on the way to eat lunch, and I invited him to join me. We sit down in the corner, and I notice, like, he brings the fork to his mouth, like, really slowly. Everything about him is slowed down.
Yeah.
But also notice, like, he's witty, observant. And so at a certain point in the conversation, I asked him, what's wrong? Like, why do you move and talk so slowly?
You just asked him flat out?
Yeah.
Was he offended?
No.
I think he was relieved to find somebody who was willing to admit that it's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Well.
And then he tells me the story.
The date was.
And he started at the beginning.
November 15th.
He said, I was 8 years old.
I was out in the backyard.
I had this dog. The dog had run off.
Broke loose of his chain.
I ran out into the street. And the next thing I knew, I was waking up from a coma.
Yeah. 5 months.
5 months later.
He got hit by a car.
Yeah.
And when you woke up, what had happened to you? What were the injuries you suffered?
Well, I couldn't talk, couldn't move.
And then he comes out of it slowly and slowly. But thing is, he stays...
Slower.
Slow.
Very slow.
So this is a man who has slowed down globally.
Right. Except for, of course, his mind.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He does well in school. He's smart. He has a great sense of humor. And we connected, you know. I was his neighbor in the dorm, and we had a lot in common. We liked a lot of the same music. We used to stay up late. I'd play my acoustic guitar, and he would sing Matchbox 20 songs from the 90s. You know, he would...
You must slow down your playing? Is that what
my
happens?
Playing is not exactly rock star material or anything.
Yeah, I love that song. I think I know it by
you. Wasn't long before we ended up having these really deep conversations into the middle of the night.
About what?
Well, the fact that both of our parents are divorced and how we both grew up in households that were fighting all the time and having to sleep at grandma's is like a regular part of both of our lives. Khan's parents started fighting a lot after he came out of the coma. The mom blamed the dad for not watching Khan. And yeah, we talked a lot about how like that impacted our life growing up, and we just became really close.
The level situation. Tell me what you had for breakfast today.
You know, I've known Khan for almost a decade. But it wasn't until last summer that I decided to interview Khan on tape, and it was in the middle of this interview that Khan tells me this story that completely changed the way that I think about Khan and his slowness.
So I really...
The story starts off with him in junior high. First big crush.
Julie.
Her name was Julie.
Back.
And he's trying to think of something romantic to do to catch her attention. And he really loves music. He was listening to his Walkman one night, and he realized that that's what he wants to do. He would make her
a mixtape.
A romantic mixtape. And that would be the thing. Huh. So he makes this tape, and then he decided that
I should try singing.
To actually sing
a
love song to Julie. So he writes the song, records it, puts the tape back in the stereo.
And when I played it back, woman is praying that I might. I remember being horrified. Just all right, even if I scream.
He felt embarrassed, he felt confused.
Screaming, crying.
Wait, why?
Well, it turns out that was the first time that he had ever heard his voice the way that you and I hear his voice. And
wait,
so.
Wait, first time? What does that even mean?
He never heard a recording of himself, or?
Well, no. He had not only had he never heard a recording of himself, but when he talks,
I hear myself like I hear you.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I mean.
He tells me that he actually didn't know that his voice was slow.
How's that even possible? I mean, does that mean his brain is speeding up his voice, but not yours?
Yeah, he hears me talk normal, and then he hears himself talk normal as well. Like,
do you think he's slow and speeding up, or do you think he just thinks he's regular?
It's not like he speeds both of us
up.
Does
he mean like your voice just, or his voice just feels normal, or does he mean it actually sounds normal?
It sounds exactly the same, is what I'm saying. Like, he thinks he sounds here right now. He would hear you talk, you'd hear me talk, and then he would say something, and in his head, it's all the same speed.
But that doesn't make sense because it's like variable speed, you know? Right?
I don't think I think he thinks he's just normal. I'm normal inside.
So we went back and forth and back and forth on this until finally.
We need a specialist at this point.
Guess we'll all take our positions.
We ended up calling this guy who we've had on the show before.
All right, so Andy Oren's here.
Oren Davinsky, neurologist, NYU Medical Center.
He's the doctor.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Oren. Does Oren Does Oren know anything?
I know, yeah, I listen. I'm college educated.
I mean, not this.
Anyhow, Andy ran him through the whole story.
Yeah, well, he was 8 years old, and he was, I believe
everything you've just heard. And here was Oren's reaction.
Yeah, so I guess, it's a fascinating case, and my first clinical question would be, did he know he moved slowly, but
absolutely,
not,
yeah.
But it was only for his own voice that he was unaware that he was different than everybody else.
Right.
So he does have feedback on himself. The one area he's not getting feedback on is his voice production, which interestingly happens in post-encephalitic Parkinson's patients. They're slow in all their movements. They're slow getting up out of a chair. They're slow walking. But as with Kahn, there are some cases where they just get little focal areas that they don't see their slowness. So Oliver Sacks, when he took care of his awakenings patients at Beth Abraham Hospital in the Bronx, would sometimes record their voices and play it back, and they'd say, "That's not me. You're fiddling with the tape machine. Huh. That's not my voice."
Because really? The voice to them would sound
too slow.
Too slow.
Too slow.
Yeah, that's exactly, Kahn.
Do you think his inner voice, his inner mental speed, is truly as fast, or is that also slow?
Oh, it's absolutely normal.
Okay.
Kahn and I both went to a Christian college. We both made an exodus from that kind of fundamentalist Christian world at around the same time, which involved long talks about what we believe and what we think we might believe next. And there was never a point where I was having to wait for Kahn to make some, mental exercise before he'd respond. And those are some pretty complex things dealing with faith and belief.
What I don't understand fully is why he hears you, Andy, speaking at three times his pace and feel you're normal, but something about his own voice feeding back to his own brain, he never perceived that at a different speed than your voice and everyone else's.
Do you trust it?
Yeah,
do you wonder about
maybe, would you suspect that if you met him, you'd learn something different than you?
Yeah, no, in medicine, you should always trust the patient's report, but keep in the back of your head a drop of skepticism. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But my gut as a clinician is more than 95%. It's real.
Now, keep in mind, that was not a true clinical diagnosis. That was just Oren Devinsky giving us his gut opinion.
Well, I have a theory. Okay. I have a theory. Unscientific, though it may be.
Well, that's what we specialize in.
Right. Welcome to the club.
I think that it has something to do with familiarity. Like, when I first met Kahn and I heard his voice, it was so foreign and so strange, and I could hardly make out what he was saying. But now, I'm surprised when people say, "What did he just say?" And I think, he just said he's horrified. You know, I've grown so familiar to his voice that it
is. It sort of like going into a Shakespeare play and in Act One, Scene One, you don't know what's going on, but somehow in the second act it begins to click.
Exactly, it's that familiarity. And if I have it, I mean, imagine what he must have.
Yeah, I've grown accustomed to hearing something different.
But what I don't get is, this went on for years. So how come no one told him?
His parents and his siblings and his friends have never turned to him and said, "Hey, come on, speed it up." They've never ever said that.
Well, no. His parents being deaf, cross them out. They couldn't have told him.
His parents are deaf.
Both of them. And Kahn thinks that everyone else just assumed that he knew what his own voice sounded like.
Really? Like when you talk to his friends.
Hello.
Hey, Haley.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Dave. What's up?
Oh, not much. What's up, Andy?
I mean, and you told them the whole thing.
To the point.
What was their reaction?
Honestly, most of them didn't believe me.
You're kidding.
Huh. Did you know this at all?
No, I had no idea. I didn't know that. And so when he speaks, he just thinks that it sounds just like anyone else?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So after he found out about his voice, which I guess was the one thing he thought was normal, what did he do?
Well,
he said,
"I'm never gonna talk again."
Did he talk again? Obviously he did, right?
Well, that's the same question I asked him.
After you heard that you were different,
how long did you go before talking again? And he told me...
I do remember going back to school.
And he doesn't recall, like, the first conversation exactly that he had, but he thinks it went something like,
"Shut up and leave me the hell alone."
He didn't want to talk, but gradually he realized that he kind of had to.
And what about singing? You said he liked to sing.
Well, eventually he got comfortable again with the idea of having his voice recorded, his singing voice recorded. And so after the interview was over, he mentioned the song that he actually had been singing a lot. And so I turned the recorder back on and asked if he would sing it for me.
So tell me the name of the song and then just sing away.
This is Grey Room by Damien Rice. Well, I've been here before, sat on the floor in a gray room.
It was actually pretty emotional for us both.
Day in all
and
day,
as I'm sitting there hearing him sing this song,
play.
I'm just wondering, like, what does this sound like in his head? So after I got the tape recorded, I brought it back to my friends in Chicago in a band called Hudson Branch, and all of them know Con. And I asked them, like, do you think that we could maybe play some music to this? So the music could kind of give us a peek into the way that Con hears it and the way that Con feels it, and maybe we could feel it too.
Stuck by the phone again. Well, I've been here before. Sat on the floor in a gray room. Gray room. Never gonna talk again. As a good singer,
I always thought of myself. As I heard myself,
as a good singer, gray.
I always thought of myself.
Yeah.
As I heard myself, as a good singer,
gray. Gray room.
Huh.
What did Con say when he heard it, by the way? Did it remind him of anything, like what he feels?
Yeah, I mean, when he heard it, he said, "Hell f- yes." It was a quote from him, but yeah. No, he loves it. He loves it.
Thanks to producer Andy Mills, who just received an award at the Third Coast Festival for a shorter version of that piece. And thanks also, of course, to Con Ashmore.
And the band.
Yeah.
Andy Ann, Matt Bull, Jacob Bull, Corey Beanard, Kobe Beanard, Becky Bailey, Enoch Kim. They call themselves Hudson Branch. Becky joined them. A lot of bees. Bull, Bull, Beanard, Beanard, and Bailey.
Right. You know, Hudson Branch could be the name of a rock band that's also a law firm. Anyhow, you can find out more about them at radiolab.org or at thehudsonbranch.com.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
I'm Jad Abumrad.
And thanks so much for listening.
Message sent.
Hi, I'm Isaac. I'm from California. And my dad listens to Radiolab. Radio Lab is supported in part by the, what is that going to say again?
Alfred
P. Sloan Foundation, Enhancing Public Understanding of Science and Technology in the Modern World. More information about Sloan at www.sloan.org. Yeah!
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.